Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program where I'm teaching you the uncompromised Word of God so you can live in victory in your life. Well, now we're going to begin to share with you on the subject of the Word of God. And the Word of God is to be living and abiding in you so it will bring forth fruit. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "For the Word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart," as the Bible says. So it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful. This means active and operative, manifesting power, the ability of God. And His Word will produce after its kind. The Word on salvation will produce salvation. The Word on healing will produce healing. The Word on joy will produce joy, if you hear it and you do it in your life. So God's Word is going to produce after its kind. It's like seed which has the power within it to produce the fruit in your life. In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, who's the Word? He's identified as Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. In 1 John 5, 7, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." The Word is speaking of Jesus. And we know from John 1, 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the Word. As you receive the Word, you're receiving Him to come and dwell in you, and then it will bring forth fruit in your life. How did God bring everything into being? He brought everything into being through His Word. We see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, God spoke things into being as He spoke His Word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Or literally, "light be," and light was. Everything that He spoke forth in Genesis 1, He kept speaking forth something different, and then He'd bring in more of the creation. Psalms 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." He brought things into being through His Word. The heavens were made and kept by the Word of God. It talks about in 2 Peter in chapter 3. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." The word there is rhema, meaning the spoken Word of God, "so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." That tells you something. There's an unseen realm, and there's a seen realm. The unseen realm is the spiritual realm. The seen realm is the natural realm. And it indicates that things which are seen in the natural realm were not made of things which do appear. They were made of things which do not appear, indicating that God's Word that brought into being is spiritual. His words are spiritual law, and He spoke spiritual words that brought things into being. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." The word for word there is rhema, again, the spoken word of His power. Notice it didn't say the power of His word, but it said the word of His power. The power of God, which is dunamis, is in the word. The spoken word releases that power to come to pass. This is why you got to get God's word in you and then speak it or speak in line with it to release the power of God that is resident within it. Now, when you and I got born again, it was through the activity of the Word of God in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 23, the Bible says this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You and I got born again through the seed of God's word, which lives and abides forever. It talks about in James 1:18, while where it says of his own will he begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Otherwise, again, we were born again through the word of truth. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, it says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word brings things into being because it is spirit and it produces life. Now, there's a scripture in John 6, verse 63, where Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is spirit and it is life. This is why you've got to get his word in you, so that you will be able to see the life of God come forth from his word. In Isaiah chapter 55, we see the importance of getting your mind renewed to the truth. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That tells you something. God's word is not going to return void. It will accomplish what he pleases. It will prosper whereto it's sent when a person receives it and acts upon it. And of course, we've got to get our mind renewed to the truth. In fact, we see this brought forth in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where the Bible says this, be not conformed to this world, be not fashioned alike to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed is a Greek word metamorpho, from which we get our English word metamorphosis, which is the process where there's a change in species from the caterpillar to the butterfly. And this speaks of the fact that as you get your mind transformed or metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God, it's going to change you from a worldly-minded, carnal-minded, fleshly-minded person into a spiritual-minded, God-inside-minded, Word-ruled type of a mind. And it goes on and says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, sometimes people have talked about different types of the will of God. They say, well, there's the good will of God, there's the acceptable will of God, and then there's the perfect will of God. Well, these are not nouns describing different types of the will of God. These are adjectives which are describing the qualities of the will of God. The word good is a word which means good and beneficial in effect. Acceptable means well-pleasing. And perfect means that which is completing or fulfilling. That shows you that the will of God is good and beneficial in effect. It is well-pleasing, and it will be completing and fulfilling in your life. Now, how's that going to happen? Through the Word. And this is why you've got to get your mind renewed to the truth. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it speaks about putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So remember, we're born again, but we've got to get the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ, established in us through the Word. And we do this by putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Now, this is why you've got to get the knowledge of God. Without the knowledge of God, you are not going to be able to walk in victory. You're not going to be able to bring forth fruit. You're not going to be able to possess the promises. And you're not going to be able to overcome. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. This tells you that God's grace and peace will be multiplied to you. How? Through the knowledge of God. And he's given you everything that you have need of for life and godliness. How? through the knowledge of Him. And through the knowledge of Him, what do? You act upon it, and you possess the exceeding great and precious promises. What's that going to result in? That you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You cannot walk in the ways of the world as you yield to the lusts of the flesh, or you're never going to possess the promises of God. Instead, you'll be corrupted, and you'll see destruction come in your life. So this is why we've got to get the knowledge of God. Now, what is happening as you hear the Word of God? In Hebrews 8:10, the Bible says this, "And this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." And this is talking about the new covenant. The Israel is a type of the church, and after those days is talking about the days of when the new covenant came into being. "The covenant that He makes with the church after those days, saith the Lord, is, I will put My laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to Me a people." We see a similar type of a scripture, but slightly different, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, where it says, "This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So if we look at Hebrews 8:10 and Hebrews 10:16 together, we see that He takes and puts and writes His laws into our mind and puts and writes His laws into our heart. They're going to be inscribed in you. We see in 2 Corinthians 3:3, where the Bible says that we are the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Indicating that God's Word is written in your heart and it is written in your mind. And we must get the Word of God in us. You are actually His living epistle. And it's important that the Word in your heart produces faith. The Word in your mind produces hope. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." As you and I get the Word of God dwelling richly in us, it will produce the wisdom of God. You see, you get the knowledge of God through the Word revealed by the Holy Spirit. And then as you act upon it, say, impart spiritual understanding to you. And as you hear and do it and apply it in your life, you gain wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge of God. And this is because of the Word that's dwelling in you. And the reason it's dwelling in you is because you're hearing and doing it consistently in your life. In John 15, verse 7, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." This word "ask" is a Greek word aiteo in the Greek, which means strictly a demand of something due you. It's not the word for ask, request, or petition. It's a different Greek word, and it's the word that's used describing New Testament prayer, where we make a demand of what's due you, and you'll be hearing more about that when we get into the series on prayer down the line. But here, you're going to speak forth the Word because the Word's abiding in you, and of course, that's what you make a demand of what's due you. You bring the Word to the Father in the name of Jesus, and it will be done unto you because God performs His Word. This is why when you pray the Word of God. Well, we're about out of time for today. I want to encourage you to take the Word of God and hear it, do it, apply it in your life, bring forth fruit. We'll talk more on the next broadcast. Be a doer. God bless you. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.